Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. It's no secret that we live in a very distracted culture. Whether it's the phone you have in your pocket, the million new TV shows that you have to catch up on, or the constant demands of our busy schedules, modern life is full of distractions. But as Christians, how can we learn to manage those distractions? And how can we live our lives in such a way that our relationship with God isn't hindered by meaningless distractions? In this week's episode, Robert Hatfield joins me once again to talk about all of this and so much more on this week's episode. I'm Tyler Wall, and this is Road Trips. All right, Robert Hatfield, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you, Tyler. I am honored to be back.
Absolutely. You are becoming a regular on the show because you keep putting out good stuff, like I just said, and you know, I want to have you back on to talk about it. So for better or for worse, you are a continual returning guest.
I would like to apologize to your listeners. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sure they don't mind. So we're talking about distraction and distractions just in our personal lives. And I think you could call it maybe the culture of distraction or distraction culture that we live in, just with the advancements of all the technology and our phones. We just live in a very distracted culture. So I want to start out by asking, as a Christian, we want to maybe not eliminate distractions, but try to manage them as best as we can. And so how would you as a Christian define distraction in the context of our faith?
Well, anything that will consistently pull our attention, time, affections away from God and our walk with God would be a distraction. You know, we were all created with a purpose, while we each have unique talents and abilities, the reality is that every human being shares the same purpose, and that purpose is to glorify God in what we do. You know, Revelation 4:11, God created everything for His glory. You know, there's a ton of passages, for example, Colossians 3:17, you know, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. 1 Corinthians, you know, whether you eat or drink, do it to the glory of God. So whatever we do, we're supposed to do this to God's glory. When we fail to do that, you know, broad brush speaking, that's called sin. Romans says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So Romans 3:23 teaches me that in sin, I am falling short of God's glory and therefore am falling short for the mission, the purpose for which God made me. The funny thing about distractions sometimes our distractions may seem benign. It may not seem sinful. And this is kind of where the fine line comes. Sometimes, you know, if you've had a long day, maybe you want a little bit of a distraction. So what's so bad about going to the movies or watching a TV show or reading a book, you know, or playing that weird game, you know, on your phone to wind down in the evenings? I mean, there's nothing inherently sinful about that. So it all comes down to where my focus is and what is pulling me away from that focus, taking my time, generally speaking, away from where it ought to be, and most importantly, my affections. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, Matthew 6:33. So distractions distort our priorities, and they just slowly erode our spiritual health if we leave those things unchecked. So that's kind of the definition with a little bit of an explanation of why these things can be so dangerous.
Yeah, I like that. And I think what it comes down to is, like you said, it's where we spend our time, where are our priorities, where is our love, and where is our affection. And anything other than God Himself and fixating our minds on spiritual things, Colossians 3:2, that can become a distraction, and that can become an unhealthy distraction. And I like how you presented it as distractions can come off as, and even actually be very harmless. You mentioned the game, mm-hmm. just coming home from work, or you know, a TV show or whatever that might be. But we do have to keep those in check and keep our minds ultimately on the things of God. And so mm-hmm. I like how you presented that, because I think distraction is one of those sins, and I think you can call it that, that that seem very harmless at the beginning, and it can take root in our lives, and it can fester into something that's become even greater, until you get to the point to where you're like, oh no, like this is becoming like my main focus in my life,
yeah.
whether that's a hobby or that show or whatever that might be. And so I really like that.
Yeah.
So, we've kind of talked about what they are, or what a distraction is. And so let's kind of get into some specific things. What are some distractions? I know the obvious is our phones, of course, but what are some distractions that young adult Christians specifically face in their everyday lives?
So here's the thing. I mean, built into life are things that could potentially get us off mission or distract us. And some of that comes even in good areas. So like, you have a significant other in your life, whether that's a girlfriend or boyfriend, or whether that's a spouse, or whether those are familial relationships like siblings, or even children or parents. Those things are good things, and God ordained you know, the institution of the home. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, in admittedly a very interesting context, you know, he says, in light of the present distress, in light of the stuff that's going on right now, he says, I think it would be best if people who aren't married would remain unmarried, so that, and I'm just paraphrasing, but he says, so that you can keep your focus on Jesus. Okay, what does that say? I mean, that it is possible, and Paul's not saying that marriage isn't a good thing, right? Marriage is to be honored among all, Hebrews 13 verse 4 says, and Paul is a champion of marriage in passages like Ephesians chapter 5, though to the best of our knowledge, he was not married. But that just tells me that something that is good, and something that's a part of life, and something that God made, could become something that takes me away. A job. You know, it's not sinful to have a job. In fact, it's quite good to have a job. And on an extreme, you know, Paul says, if a man won't work, neither should he eat. Paul says, whoever fails to provide for his own has denied the faith. Okay, so we need a job. That's an important thing. But if I'm always chasing success, if I get that, we could even say like out of balance, quote unquote, which doesn't mean you give equal time to everything. It means out of its proper place. It's distorted beyond its rightful priority. Then that can become a distraction. Entertainment. You know, we've already mentioned that. I don't want to come down too extreme on all this stuff. We all probably waste more time than we should. I know I do. But part of the reason, I guess, Tyler, that I'm on here talking about this today is because this is something I struggle with. Not just like bad entertainment. That's not something I'm really dealing a lot with. It's just the time that I put into some of these things. Busyness. It's a good thing to be busy, but am I overloaded? You know, am I pushing myself beyond bounds to where I don't have time to come apart and pray a while? I'm not resting like I should. I'm not reading my Bible like I should. These things are distractions. And then you mentioned, yeah, phone and everything that comes along with it. And I guess where I'm building this up to is, in addition to just normal stuff that comes with life, you know, pursuing relationships, pursuing a job, overloading our schedules. I mean, the clock, that's just a part of life. God, for whatever reason, in his wisdom, created years, months, days, weeks, 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week. So we are naturally, even providentially, limited. We have to choose what our priorities are going to be. And so baked into that will be some distractions. But then on top of that, we now have, and I guess, you know, maybe this started in the radio age. It certainly started in the TV age. And now social media, I mean, these things are literally engineered. There's science behind the algorithms to give us, to not just keep us there, but even psychologically to give us dopamine hits, that the more we scroll, the more we're kind of drawn in, and even we could say addicted to the scrolling, the notifications. It keeps our minds busy and our hearts distant all at the same time. And it's not just social media. It's, you know, I did an experiment not long ago where I took a social media fast, for lack of a better way of saying it. And I literally bricked my phone to where it would not let me on those apps. Okay. And my computer was the same way. Two main things I noticed. Number one, I just sort of subconsciously search for Instagram on my phone. I don't keep it on my home screen, so I know I can swipe down and start typing INS, and usually it pops up and I'll click it or tap it. And I found myself doing that, and I would sort of awaken to that reality that I was doing that when the search result did not come up because I had blocked it from my phone for that time. Okay, number one. The second thing I noticed was, in lieu of that, sometimes I would find myself wasting time by just scrolling through my own photo album. What was the deal with that? I found that I got about the same. I know.
I'm so glad I'm not the only one. What is wrong with me?
And so I found that I got the same kind of satisfaction, almost the same like dopamine hits, by just doing that. So it's not just social media; it's our phones in general. And this sort of, I don't know, dopamine, checking your email, looking to see if I've got some new kind of anything, you know, does somebody need me? A text message. These things are not inherently bad, but they can certainly be distracting.
My microphone quit working again.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's all right. It can be fixed.
Okay.
I love that. And I kind of want to work through kind of what you said. You said there at the beginning that we tend to kind of just come down really hard on these kinds of things and just kind of present all of these things as just inherently bad just all the time. Because you read scriptures like Colossians 3:2, and you're like, okay, so should I just be thinking about spiritual things all the time? Is it wrong to ever think about anything else, right? And I don't think so, but I've noticed in my own life, the danger is, and what kind of scares me about it is the fact that I really, I find it a lot easier to sit down and watch Sunday night football for 3 hours. I find that so much easier than maybe it is to turn my attention and to turn my focus and listen to maybe a sermon that's 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that can be a concerning thing. And I think that ultimately it can show where truly my mind and my heart really is. And, you know, you mentioned this with the photo album and the Instagram, like, it's so true because we just condition ourselves to just anytime there's a dull moment, okay, well, I have to fill it. I have to fill it with some kind of thing. I also think something that I was thinking about leading up to this is just the abundance of it all. There are so many TV shows, so many apps, so many games. You can watch every single MLB, NFL, NBA game. You can watch every single one of them if you pay the money and subscribe to it. And so, you know, I didn't live in this time, but there was a time when it was just like the one show on CBS, ABC, NBC, right?
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, I kind of long for that time in a way, and kind of like sad that I missed out on that. But now with 24/7 news and that kind of thing, I just think the abundance of it all can be such a distraction, because we serve a God who is always available. But you know what's always available is Facebook and CNN, Fox News, whatever that might be. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that can become a real danger. And so definitely some distractions that we face in our lives. And it's not just limited to technology. It can be so many different things. And so I definitely appreciate that. And I think as young adults, you know, we're facing that. We're facing so many opportunities to be distracted by so many different things. I mean, you're just starting your career, your grades, academics and career can both become distractions, pursuing relationships, that kind of thing. And so, you know, I'm sure you see that, you know, interacting with college students a lot. And so, I think that's really good. But what I got out of that was how concerning it sometimes is in my life that I find it a lot easier to spend time doing worldly things than I do spiritual things, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And I'd like to say, when you're starting out and when you're a young adult, you have this feeling like I'm supposed to be better than this. You know, I'm growing up and I'm doing adulty things, and I'm supposed to have these ruts and routines, and I need to get to this level either in my career or certainly in my faith, you know, disciplines, balance, you know, you're hit with all this stuff all at once. And then it's like, no, I'm paying bills and, you know, I'm just doing all the things. And I just want to say, like, give yourself grace and realize that this is a growth process, that you're doing well by being aware of the needs that are there and of the priorities that you need to have, and just experiment with stuff. And if you feel like you're out of balance from where God says your priorities ought to be, correct and just keep going, you know, and realize that you're not going to turn a cruise ship on a dime. So you're going to have to do some subtle correcting here and there, so that the net result, you know, you look back after a month and you say, I have grown this month. I'm doing better than I was doing. And so I just want to say, give yourself some grace. Yes, these distractions are serious. And so this is kind of sounding the alarm. You know, what we're doing is sounding the alarm and saying, don't lose sight of what these things are capable of doing. At the same time, when you realize it, don't just sit and beat yourself up over it. Take some action to make some corrections and go from there. Is just what I'd like to encourage you to do, because you don't know what you don't know. And you don't know how to correct sometimes, or you feel like, you know, I'm in this season right now. I have seasons where, you know, my job, and hey, I'm a minister, and so it's all good stuff. But still, like, sometimes my job can take me away. I mean, there are weeks when I may not have dinner with my family for 5 days straight. Well, that ain't right, you know, and I'm doing good stuff and it's necessary, but I have to hit the pause button and adjust a little bit. And my wife helps me with that. You know, she says, hey, it's time to do something different. And I appreciate that. So it's a team effort, and it's something that requires constant monitoring, I guess, is just what I want to say.
I like that. And I think that is such a good reminder for us, because I think so often with any sort of change that we make, like, you know, someone listening to this and they're like, yeah, I think I'll try the social media fast, and then it gets to 2 days and you're like, oh no, this is too hard, I'm gonna quit, or I am reaching for my phone too much, or I am looking at my photo album too much, whatever that might be. Because I've definitely experienced that with any kind of change, or with you know, I'm only I guess 7-8 months into this new work that I'm doing, and so your mind tricks yourself into thinking that it's just always gonna be one way, and that's just not true. And so I really appreciate that. That's good advice there. So what is it that makes distractions so effective in pulling us away from our focus on God? Like, how do distractions really do their job really well?
Well, it's the slow drift, right? I mean, it's little things that aren't outright open rebellion from God. And that's why I don't want to come down too hard about all this, right? I mean, it's not a sin to own an iPhone. It's not a sin to have your notifications on. It's not a sin to text a lot of people, or to have social media. But these things can provide distractions that can take us away. But that's where the danger lies as well. You know, I think this is a section or a part of scripture that we don't always think a lot about. But I just did a quick search back a few minutes ago before we started recording for the word sober in the New Testament. And one thing you got to understand is the word sober in biblical parlance doesn't just mean not drunk. I mean, it does mean that, but it's not just that. It's more than that. It means clear thinking, sound, healthy thinking. And it's kind of like saying your mind is sharp, you know, or you're focused. So listen to this. 1 Thessalonians 5:6, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. And then two verses later, since we belong to the day, so we're not asleep like somebody who's living in the night. Since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Clear thinking results from and even works in tandem with having faith and love and salvation and protecting ourselves from outside threats with these things. I think that applies to our discussion too, right? You know, a deacon's wife, 1 Timothy 3:11, is to be dignified, not slanderous, sober-minded, and faithful in all things. Preachers, 2 Timothy 4:5, Paul says to Timothy, as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Titus 2:2 says that older men are to be sober-minded. And then later he says, you're supposed to pass that on, how to do that, to the younger people. Preparing your minds for actions, being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 1:13. Now that's interesting. My mind is to be prepared for action, and I'm clearly thinking about the hope that I have. And in 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is at hand, therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded. And in 1 Peter 5:8, the antidote to this roaring lion who walks about seeking whom he may devour is to be watchful and sober-minded. So you understand that at the heart of all of this, Christianity is about the way you think. That's why repentance is focused more on your heart than it is your actions. Hear me clearly. I'm not saying repentance is not about what you do. The Bible talks about fruit of repentance. But the fruit that comes is a result of the thinking, the way your mind is, whether or not you are soberly minded. Repentance means change the way you think, and that results in a change in your activity. All right. So distractions are so effective because they affect our thinking. Peter stepped out of the boat and was walking on the water for a minute. I don't know how long. And then Matthew 14:30 says, when he began to see the waves crashing around him, you know, remember they're in the middle of a storm. And it's like for a minute, they see this being out there. It's a ghost. Jesus says, no, it's me. Don't be afraid. Peter says, if it's really you, let me come out on the water. Peter is like locked in on Jesus during that moment. But then he gets distracted. Distracted. What did that mean? He took his eyes off of Jesus. I'm not faulting Peter. I mean, he's walking on water for crying out loud. And, you know, there's a storm going on, but that's given for a reason, right? Somebody said miracles are parables of instruction. Okay, so here's this miracle. this human is at least taking a step or two on water. And he began to be distracted and he began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. All right. Peter knows what the danger of distraction really is. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, just to give you another passage about this, says, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. That's the reason why I believe that focus, rest, solitude are, for lack of a better way of saying it, spiritual disciplines. You know, a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old may not be really great at staying focused. You know, they're kind of squirrely. hey, don't forget, I asked you to go pick you out some socks, you know, but on the way they passed their toys and, you know, now they forgot what they were doing. And so sometimes we think, well, they're not capable of doing a whole lot other than just playing or, you know, toddling around. But isn't it interesting? They go to school and the teachers teach them, and admittedly they're doing it in a way, you know, that meets the kiddos where they are. But they also have to learn to sit still and to pay attention and to walk in a line between the classroom and the cafeteria or the gym or whatever. How did they learn all that? They had to be taught it. They had to be taught that stuff. Okay. You and I have to be taught stuff. And that may look like sitting still for an hour in a worship service without checking my phone and just focusing on God through all of that. Or that may look like building in a 15-minute block of time every day where I read my Bible and pray. 15 minutes, right? Or that may look like reducing my screen time and turning off notifications, at least on some things, so that I'm not constantly taken away. Because here's what we know, right? This idea of multitasking, it's more or less a myth. You can't really, truly, especially if you're trying to do deep work, right? The stuff that really moves the needle in your life, the stuff you're really getting paid to do, or the stuff that's really important to you in your life. You can't really do that while you're also focusing on something else. So if I'm trying to write a paper for school, or if I'm trying to write a sermon, or if you're trying to, you know, complete that project for work or whatever it is, and you're constantly getting dings from Facebook Messenger or Instagram notifications, or even text messages or phone calls, you aren't going to be able to do that well. Okay, now take that into the spiritual. Not just now, or is that affecting like maybe my work ethic, which is a spiritual principle, right? But in addition to that, like if I can't sit still and worship, like I'm going to have to be taught how to do that, realizing that there are biblical principles that can help me. And I think it starts with this idea of being sober-minded, a clear thinking, focused on my goal, and to realize that I can't just say, well, you know, that's what people in our generation do. You know, every generation has had to deal with some kind of distractions. I'm not going to say it's not worse today than it ever has been, because I think maybe it kind of is. And part of that's because always within arm's length is my phone, like always, including right now. Like I've got it in my hand while I'm talking. But I also, and on top of that, like literally while I was speaking that sentence, my watch just tapped my wrist, which is super annoying. But at the same time, like, okay, oh, that's a text message. That's important. Like our youth minister is literally texting me as I'm talking. I could not have timed this better. Okay, that's important. And I need to know what Jared needs from me. But that's not more important than what I'm doing right now in having this conversation with you. And so there's a part of that that even just now is like, oh, I wonder what he needs. Should I check that while Tyler's talking in just a second? Maybe I could reply, but then I won't really know what Tyler said. See, wow, what a great time for a text message to come through. That just shows how distractions can be so effective in pulling us away from God, but also from the people around us, realizing that. The second commandment is like the first, which doesn't mean number one and then number two. It means number one and then flowing out of number one. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do I want people to seem constantly distracted when I'm talking to them? Okay, so when they're talking to me, do they want to feel like my eyes are constantly darting around somewhere else? or my phone, my head is always buried in my phone instead of interacting with the people around me to have meaningful interactions. So, I don't know if you can tell, I've thought a lot about this, and not to preach at other people, but really to preach it myself. I get so sick of the, hi, how are you? Fine. Okay. See you later. You know, I want to have meaningful interactions. I think that's where Jesus can do the most good through me, is by having meaningful interactions. Well, if I'm always buried in my notifications, I'm never going to have that. I'm never really going to move the needle in my job or the things that are important to me. I'm not really going to connect with my wife and my kids the way that I know that I should, and really the way I want to. So I've got to do something to place some boundaries on this and to get rid of some of those distractions.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was a lot.
No, that's so good. That is so good. My mind, when you mentioned being sober-minded, my mind went to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And yep. I think it is interesting how, I think you mentioned three verses from 1 Peter that talk about being sober-minded. And I just, while you were talking, I was just thinking, like, why is that? And, you know, he's writing to a group of Christians who are suffering, who are being persecuted. And I think that maybe, not that we are experiencing much of that here in the U.S., but I think there is definitely something we can draw out from that. And that is, keep your focus where it should be. Keep your mind clear. Because for me, that's kind of what distractions do. Like when I spend an hour scrolling or whatever that is, my mind just feels really jumbled. It feels kind of cloudy and messy. And even if I watched or listened or read something that was really good, I still feel like, oh, like, why does my mind like not feel clear, or like whatever that might be? And I think I think that that's what makes distractions so good, is that they cloud our minds with things that aren't the best portion, if you will, or whatever that might, or whatever that might be. And so I definitely think that could be a reason why distractions are just so easy to fall into. And, you know, it's so true when we are distracted, technologically, we aren't making time for the things that matter most, like our relationships. And you're right, it is kind of annoying to talk to someone who, oh, just a second, let me check this, or whatever that might be. But I can't deny that I've done the exact same thing. I've been there before. And I'm just like you. I want those deep relationships. I want, when I read all those, you know, one another passages that we find in the New Testament, that to practice that means you're not doing that. You're not as distracted as we tend to be sometimes. It takes our focus off of God. Not only that, but it does take away from all the things that truly matter, like other people or like our jobs or whatever that might be.
And there's a bunch of accounts from Scripture that address this. You know, we've mentioned some principles, some verses, but you just mentioned the better part. And that, of course, takes us to Luke 10, Martha and Mary, Luke 10, 38 to 42. And Jesus says that Martha was distracted with much serving. She was distracted. Now, she was doing a good thing. She was serving. But Jesus said what Mary is doing is better. Now, what prompted that wasn't that Jesus was critical of Martha initially. It was when Martha tried to be critical of Mary to Jesus. In fact, not only was Martha critical of Mary, she was also kind of critical of Jesus. She said, Lord, don't you care that my sister isn't helping me try and serve you as our guest? Hospitality was important back then. Hospitality is a biblical principle that's still important today. But Jesus said, you know what? There's time for that later. Right now, we're going to focus on this. Martha, you're distracted with many things. There's one thing that is needful for you. So notice that there's many things over against one thing, and the singularity of focus there. You know, James says that the person who prays doubting is like double-minded. So he's splitting his focus away. And if I take that principle and put it back into this, you know, Jesus says, Martha, you're trying to divide your focus. You're trying to focus on me while you're also modernize the text a little bit in the kitchen, you know, trying to scrounge up stuff. Mary's doing what's most important. Sometimes I think about that when people will leave worship service early to go and get ready for the potluck meal. By the way, I don't know if you expected me to open a can of worms on your show. I'm sorry. You can edit that out. But I think about that kind of stuff, you know, and it's like, well, we want to be hospitable, but also like, what does Mary and Martha teach us about that? There's another one, though. I'm not going to park there because people are getting offended. So we'll go to Mark chapter 4, and this is the parable of the sower. And the reason why I'm choosing Mark's account of the parable of the sower, you know, Jesus tells this parable. Here's this fella. He's got some seed. He's scattering it around here and there to sow it, all right? And some falls on the wayside soil, which is just the packed down sidewalk. You know, they don't have pavement, but it's just the pat down areas. And so the seed can't penetrate the soil. The birds come and get it. Some falls on the stony ground. And so the ground can receive it, but it can't really take root because there's rock underneath there. And so it dies. Some falls on the thorny ground or the area with weeds. And it's Mark's account in Mark 4, 18 and 19 that says, while the seed is able to germinate, it ultimately is choked out by the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things. Sounds like some distractions to me. So it's not merely that there isn't a bedrock for which this can take root. It's that the life, the seed, the plant was going to grow, but the thorns choked it out. And like, man, that could be us, you know? The good ground is the pure soil, and the seed is able to grow and to flourish. Hebrews 12 says that we're supposed to lay aside every weight and the sin which easily besets us. That's the King James, because that's what I learned growing up, because I'm old. But anyway, and we're supposed to fix our eyes on Jesus. So there are things that can hold us back. And, you know, distractions could certainly fall into that. I'm not saying that's the only thing that the writer of Hebrews is talking about. You've mentioned several times Colossians 3, set our minds on things above, not on things on the earth. So these are just a few of some accounts, some passages of scripture that address distraction and teach us, like, this is really a big thing. Something that maybe we ought to give more attention to than we really do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, we're studying Colossians in our AM Bible class. And so I guess it's just kind of on my mind. And, you know, I think even look at Colossians 2:8, it says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. And, you know, as I understand, Jesus was just like an added deity. He was just like an added, you know, along with all these other gods, along with all these other idols, you also need Jesus.
Yeah, that's the way they thought here, about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Paul here from the very beginning there in chapter one, of course, starting in verse 15, he's like, no, Jesus is the guy, you know, he is everything. He is all these guys. They're dead. They're nothing. It's all about Jesus. Yeah. And so I think we can kind of fall into that same trap of empty deceit, human tradition, even humanism, if you want to call it that, whatever mm-hmm. that might be. I think that we can definitely fall into that. And so, definitely think Colossians is a book that definitely fits into our culture today. And you mentioned some really good other passages. And then of course there's what came to mind for me was Philippians 4:8 of what to set our minds specifically on. And I think that's important for us to remember too. So, you know, we should never think that a modern problem, if you can even call it that, because they were experiencing, yep. they were experiencing it in scripture. And so, I don't know. That's just another reminder off topic, but
it's a good point.
Whatever you're going through, there's something in scripture for it. Scripture isn't going to talk about Facebook, but you can definitely read between the lines and say, okay, where does this concept kind of mm-hmm. fit into maybe where I'm at? And so I think that that's really good. So we joked that the reason I had you on was because of a video you did on phone distraction.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll let you have the floor with this and just ask, you know, what kind of boundaries can we set with our phones to make that distraction just less prevalent in our lives? Yeah.
Well, it's a good time because I think a lot of the phone companies or the software manufacturers for the OSs on our phones are beginning to realize that we do need some built-in things to help us with this. Now, you know, we can't trust tech companies at face value because they have a vested interest in the amount of time that we spend on these things. You know, they're financially profiting from the fact that I don't go hardly anywhere without my phone in my hand. Having said all of that, though, you know, there are ways to silence or turn off notifications. And I think that's a good thing. You know, I'm an iPhone user. Sorry, Android users. I can't really speak a lot to some specific things that you guys can do. I know you have some parallels. You probably had them long before iPhones did. So, you know, but you can silence or turn off notifications. I like do not disturb mode. Which basically means that anybody, no one except for my favorites can get through to me when that mode is on. And my favorites are basically, you know, family members. There are a few coworkers for me that are on that list as well. You know, that I think that's a good thing. I went through recently, and this is that video you were talking about that, and I shared publicly on the Light Network, about just going through and looking at all of my notifications. And these days you can go app by app and say, no, I don't want real-time notifications from Instagram. You know, no, I don't want real-time notifications from, you know, whatever random. There are some things I do want real-time notifications from. I want to know when I get a text message or a phone call. You know, it's kind of the purpose of a phone. I want to know when there's a weather alert that I need to be aware of. Because, you know, the way I am, I wouldn't know it. By other means. So I need to be aware of that. But like a lot of these random apps, I don't need the little game that I'm playing right now on my phone to constantly remind me that it wants me to play it. So I turn off all the notifications for that. There are other things I thought, well, I'd like to see those notifications, but maybe I don't need to see them in real time. And by the way, like you can go into your screen time settings and it'll tell you like how long you spend on this thing, but also how many times you pick it up a day. And like, it's hundreds of times. Like it's kind of strange to me that I would pick something up hundreds of times. So I went through there and I said, don't show me news headlines. I like to see the news headlines because frankly, I don't really watch any news otherwise. So I feel like that's kind of how I keep up with what's going on in the world for better or for worse. But I said, give me a summary of those twice a day. So it does it at like 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. or something like that. I don't even know. And it just groups a bunch of notifications together. And I just kind of scroll through them real quick. And then there's one button at the top. I hit the X and it removes them all at once. That is really, really nice. So that's helpful. So think about your notifications and then use screen time limits or app timers. I've done that with Facebook and Instagram. I said 2 hours a day. I don't know if that's a lot or a little. You may think 2 hours, man, you know, 60 minutes or 120 minutes. But I set it at 2 hours because I do like to scroll through Facebook sometimes. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know, in moderation. That's okay. At the same time, you know, sometimes for my job, I need to post stuff on behalf of the church or just to encourage people. A lot of times I learn it's somebody's birthday from Facebook, you know, so thank you, Facebook. So, you know, I kind of use that stuff in ministry sometimes, but I don't really need to go beyond 2 hours. And you know what's amazing is how quickly you can hit that that mark. And so my phone will say, you know, time's up, and it'll give me that little hourglass thing. I can override it if I need to, but, you know, there's that. maybe you just need to designate phone-free hours in your day. For me, it's first thing in the morning. I get up early, I try to, and those are distraction-free hours. And that's when I can really get some deep work done. Anywhere from 5 a.m., it's not always 5. Sometimes it's 6 or 7 or 8 before I get in here and start. But anywhere between that and maybe around 10 a.m., I kind of don't really start doing a lot of appointments and stuff until about 10. But, you know, the phone starts ringing around 8 or 8:30. So if I want to get some deep work done, it needs to be before then. And that's uninterrupted time. A lot of times I've got a table on the other end of my little office in here, and I will leave my phone there so that I'm not just tempted to pick it up. And, you know, the thing is, like, sometimes I'll just tap my phone to wake it up to show me what time it is. Well, then I see a notification. And now I'm hooked. You know, the rest is history. So I need to designate some phone-free hours. You know, there's some science. You can do the research that says that staring at a screen right before bed may not be the best way to get a good night's sleep. So if you're struggling with sleep, maybe you need to eliminate the screen. And so maybe a phone-free hour for you needs to be the hour before you go to bed. But then to use my phone in a way that will help me to be more focused. Because here's the piece we haven't really talked about. I mean, part of what I like about these phones and computers and iPads and whatever else is what the possibility for efficiency. So let's just make this an ultra-focused machine for us. Maybe I need to, and here's what I've done, and admittedly, this is a little more extreme, okay? But maybe I need to either delete apps that I don't use or at least remove them from my home screen. You know, they can still be listed in the app directory if you keep swiping, but I don't need to see the little games I'm playing. I got a little solitaire game I'm liking right now. I'm playing one of these games, you know, you match up the tiles and, you know, you whatever. I'm doing some of that a little bit, just, you know, just to help my brain relax sometimes or whatever. I don't need that on the front page of my phone. So I just took it off. And that way it's intentional. If I'm like, I got a few minutes, I think I'll play this, you know, 10, 15 minutes or whatever. I go to it. It doesn't come to me and hook me in. You know, you can do wallpapers. People have been doing stuff like that a lot. There's a lot of stuff you can do now with widgets that can be helpful. You know, you can set reminders to pray. On my home screen right now, I just have a quote. I don't even know who the quote's from. But I like what it says. And when I raise my phone, this is what I see. It says, if you don't distance yourself from distractions, those distractions will distance you from achieving your goals. Now, I didn't put that on there because you asked me to come talk about distractions. It's been on there for, I don't know, a month or two now. But I just want that reminder. Like, I have goals. There are things in life I want to do. And distractions are taking me away from that. So to realize that tech isn't an enemy, but without boundaries, it can become a barrier to what I want to be and who I want to become and who God wants me to be and who God created me to be. And so, you know, to set some of those boundaries, this is just maybe some stuff to whet your appetite. I'm a big fan. I have no affiliation right now at all. I don't even know the guy, but I'm a big fan of the digital minimalist. And if you Google that guy, he's got some stuff. He's a little more on the extreme end of this. You're going to watch something and you're going to think, are you serious? But if your phone is really getting on your nerves, like it has been mine, maybe you need to take some serious action. You know, I'm thinking about it like this. Jesus says, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. It's better to go to heaven with one eye than to enter hell with two eyes. Okay. Now, Jesus isn't literally saying, pluck your eye out. He says the same thing about your hand. If your hand offends you, cut it off, okay? For the same reasons, to accomplish the same purposes. What he's saying is, if something is distracting you or pulling you away from God, cut that. Get rid of that. And so, if my phone is really causing that big of a distraction, I don't need to make excuses for it. Well, that's just part of living in this century, you know? Well, everybody's dealing with that. No, maybe I need to be the person who breaks the cycle and says, I'm going to distance myself from this because this is keeping me from achieving the goals that I want to achieve. So maybe those are some things that can kind of get you started with that.
Yeah, that's really good. And, you know, just that last little part that you were talking about, I've told I've told youth groups this, you know, it'd be better to go to heaven without an Instagram account or without a Snapchat account. And that's not just for teenagers. That's for adults as well, certainly. But I love all those tips that you gave for the phone. And my favorite that I've started using is the scheduled summary, because when I wake up, there's something about waking up to like 10 emails. You know, what happened in, you know, MLB yesterday or whatever it might be, weather alerts, news, whatever that might be. There's something about waking up and that's not there. So mm-hmm. I did mine for 11 a.m. and 9 p.m. And so, I think that's such a good thing. And I think there's something about just getting your day started off, right. There's a guy that says, scripture before screens. And I wish that I followed that more closely, but it's definitely something I keep in my mind. That way I'm like, okay, I'm going to put this into practice sometime. You know, you would say scripture before anything, right? Hopefully. But you know, I think that's such a good thing. And I've heard of couples that don't allow phones in the bedroom. And I mm-hmm. think that that's really good. You were talking about some more, maybe extreme things, but I think that I think if that's a step that you'd like to take, I don't think it'd be a bad thing at all. And the screen time password, maybe sharing that with someone to where you don't know it. I've heard that mm-hmm. one. Mm-hmm. Man, these are things that, yes, they do seem extreme, but at the end of the day, it's like, man, it's worth it, right?
Yes.
We say, you know, we say the cost of following Jesus, of counting the cost. Sure, mm-hmm. yeah, there's a cost to that, but the cost of not doing it is a lot greater. And yes. so I think that those are all some really good things. And I'll put a link to that video in the show notes. We mentioned, you know, some phone boundaries and some different things we can do with our devices that were all really good. But just as we close, maybe in some other areas, what are just some practical mm-hmm. steps we can take to manage the distractions in our lives and keep our focus on God?
Well, so the opposite of distraction would be, at least in my estimation, discipline. And discipline is not a fun word, but think about it in a good way. You know, the New American Standard Bible translates 1 Timothy 4:7 like this: discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. So if I am disciplining myself, that doesn't mean I'm beating myself up always, although Paul uses that kind of language in 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. He says, I discipline myself and beat my body into subjection. Okay, sometimes I need to do that. But disciplines in a spiritual way really look more like routines that help us to intersect with Jesus. Think about Zacchaeus using that sycamore tree to get up high enough where he was going to see Jesus. And if you knew that you could interact with Jesus today, personally, would anything stop you from that? Well, you can interact with Jesus personally today, and you do that through spiritual disciplines. You can read his word, so you can let him talk to you. You can talk to him in prayer. So, you know, there's all sorts of ways that you can do this. And if you Google spiritual disciplines, you'll find books, resources, that this is a whole study. And Fried Hardeman, you know, I preach across the street from Fried Hardeman, and they have courses on the spiritual disciplines. And these are just ways that you can intersect with God. So you got to have direction. You got to know what you want. And what you want is to be more like Jesus. And so you discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, to be more like him. So what should we do? What are some practical things we can do? Start your day with God, you know, before the noise begins. Anchor yourself in scripture and in prayer. That may mean getting up a little earlier. That may mean reorganizing your morning routine. It doesn't have to be a long thing. It's not an hour-long worship service. 10 minutes, 15 minutes can be sufficient. Maybe you want to go beyond that. Maybe you need to start small and then grow into it. But start your day with God. Sometimes we try and put that off to the last thing and we're so exhausted, none of it sticks. But if you start your day, that can be helpful. Create rhythms in your life of silence and solitude. My commute to work is about 5 minutes. Okay, I live in a small town. Some days I listen to the radio. Some days I just turn off the radio and I don't listen to anything. And that's just nice. I don't have any distractions. If my mind feels overwhelmed on the drive to work, then silence can be helpful. You know, some days first thing I do is just spend a minute in prayer and then in Bible study. But maybe my mind feels a little distracted first, and so I'll practice the discipline of reflection or journaling. And sometimes I think of journaling and I think about a sixth grade girl, you know, dear diary, whatever. That's not what journaling is, okay? It's just getting your thoughts on paper. And there's a therapeutic element to recording whatever you're thinking. And sometimes you're surprised. I didn't know all of that was crowding my brain today. And there's something about just getting it out that is helpful. Be intentional about what you're putting in. You know, what you're watching, listening to, what you're consuming. Feed your soul rather than just kind of scrolling through life and letting things happen to you. You know, you can be in control of that. And sometimes I feel a little anxiety, like, what if I'm missing something? What if there's something on Facebook and I need to see, or Instagram or TikTok or whatever? You know, what if I'm missing something? Maybe that's okay. Let the world pass you by and you'll find out the world doesn't end. It's okay. You can catch up later. And there's something freeing about that. You don't have to respond to a text message the moment you receive it. You don't have to look in an email the moment that it comes in. I turned off the badges on my email app on my phone because I don't want to see 4,376, you know, or whatever up there. I don't have that many emails, but I don't want to see that. That's just something that causes me anxiety. So be intentional about what you're putting in, even if that is some notifications. And surround yourself with people who are going to call you to a higher place. You know, podcasts can help us with this as well. You know, I'm just surrounding myself with good things that can remind me not to just give in and go with the flow. Because after a while, it can be kind of hard to swim upstream. And so maybe to do that and then regularly just evaluate, check in with yourself. Journaling is a good way to do this. You know, is what I'm doing helping me love God more or is it distracting me from him? So just check in, constantly do a little bit of self evaluation, you know, 1 Thessalonians 5, examine yourselves, or 2 Corinthians 13. So we can do those things. Excuse me, and that can help us in just sort of checking in and making sure that we're having good rhythms. I think those are some practical things that we can do to manage distractions. There's always going to be things that are going to distract. You're never going to eliminate. So I like the way you worded the question. We're going to manage distractions and just try and make sure that we are keeping the main thing in our lives.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So the spiritual disciplines, you know, I've heard them kind of explained as just columns that are holding a building up. And you know this because they're at your church building, they're at the front, you know, they're building blocks. It's not necessarily willpower. You're just setting up principles and disciplines in your life. And we don't really think about this verse maybe in that way, but I think Acts 42, devoting yourself to apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. That's not necessarily the personal spiritual discipline because that's in the church. But I think that can be a good place to jump off because you're not just like, well, I'm just going to try harder. You know, no, you're setting up principles and building blocks in your life to actually practice this and to actually put this into action. And so you're praying, you're reading scripture. And I think, you know, how you start your day and how you end your day, it not only says a lot about us, but it also has a big indication, not always, but it does have a big indication as to like, okay, where's my day headed? Where's my day ending? I think that those two things are really important. And there's nothing better than starting it with time with God. And so you're exactly right. But then there's also a place, as you were saying, of just clearing your mind. Right before we did this, I was out hitting golf balls outside. And I love, that's like my thing to do when I just need to get outside and just clear my mind, just hit shots, pray. I mean, it's great.
That's cool.
And so I think that those things are important for us to do. Surrounding ourselves with the right people, of course, and being intentional. And I've heard you mention this on Preachers in Training, but you know, one of my favorite parts of doing this podcast is that I can talk to people and really just recenter my mind and have those conversations. Because like you have a set hour or however long it is to where like you have to talk about this one thing.
Yes.
And like nowhere else really in our lives do we really get to do that unless it's, you know, Bible class or worship time.
Yeah.
And so I really think that's good. And then just, you know, being intentional, I think that those are all really good things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have come to appreciate worship more and the time of worship and the fact that God wants us to get together, you know, on the first day of every week for a period of worship and to think, okay, this is the most important thing. This is all I have to do right now. This is what I'm going to do. Everything else will wait. And sometimes, you know, there are going to be things that call us away, unfortunately, from that, sicknesses or emergencies or whatever. But on the most part, to say, okay, this is what I'm doing right now. And all I have to do right now is just commune with God through worship. Like, this is it. Mm-hmm. And that helps me. I really have grown to where I look forward to that, because that's, when else really do you get to do that in the middle of a day, you know, 10, 11 a.m., whatever time it is. And again at 5, 6 p.m., whatever. That's just nice. So anyway, to learn to appreciate that stuff and to see how valuable it is, you know, we see why God built that into our schedule. So it's good stuff.
Yeah. Well, Robert, thank you so much for coming back on and taking some time. I know you're busy and for talking about this, what I think is important topic.
Yeah, this was fun. I appreciate you having me on. Boy, we have gone a very long time, and so for that, I apologize. But
it didn't feel that long, though.
No, hopefully it doesn't to everybody who's listening to this. But I appreciate you having me on, Tyler. I appreciate all you're doing, and I value your friendship. So happy for all that you have going on, and thanks for letting me be a part of this today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Robert.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. This podcast is in partnership with Ministry League. You can download their app or check out their social media pages or YouTube channel to find all the great resources they have to offer. We'll be back next week with another episode of Road Trips.